Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavigueto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the third Sunday of Easter, and the readings are from Cycle B.
The apostles seem a little dense, don't you think? You thought they had seen enough of what Jesus had done. They saw him raise a little girl, the son of a widow, Lazarus. They heard about Peter seeing the risen Lord already. And they had just heard the two people who had returned from Emmaus and they had seen the Lord. Well, somehow Jesus simply appearing is more confusing than consolation for these people. And he shows them their hands and his feet, you know. He shows them the wounds, the suffering that he endured. And that's the strange part about Luke's gospel. Usually, if this were year A, we would read the Emmaus story. So I do not know why in Rome they decided that you'd have to wait a whole year to continue with the story. That's today. And in both stories, we have Jesus eating, wanting to be touched. Isn't that how you console somebody? You let them touch you, you embrace them. And what's the second thing you do? You eat. Two wonderful little moments. But something else happens in both accounts which I find really strange. He then opens the scriptures for them. He explains the scriptures that the Messiah was going to suffer. He did it with Cleopas and his companion. And then he says that to Cleopas and his companion yet again because they're with the 12. How the Messiah was to suffer. So why the insistence on suffering? Jesus won't stop talking about it. And that's because suffering doesn't let go of us. He may be risen, but we're not. He says it for Luke's community. Luke, when he wrote this, had his community in mind. And they were facing the year 85, increasing persecution and opposition. Life was danger, and they knew they were going to have to face suffering. You know, for us, modern suffering, it's kind of barren. It's meaningless. It's threat. It's danger. Jesus, take it away! Instead, we have to let Jesus do to us what the Father did for him. Pour life into the death. Pour love into the suffering. And thus conquer it and destroy it. But first he has to comfort them by touch and by food. Sometimes I think we forget how important a touch, an embrace, and a meal is. I think we ought to kind of celebrate more often the sacramentality of that hug and that meal. You have something to offer, something to give, especially to someone who's suffering by that touch, by that food. Luke's community needs the touch and the taste of a community for the strength for all they're going to have to face. And so Jesus explains it twice. Because you got to hear it, you got to go deeper into it. It's not that Jesus had to suffer, but finally, love had to pour himself into our suffering to give us new life. And we got to hear that message again and again before it really sinks in, before we take on a different way of perceiving. Well, it must have stuck for those first Christians because they were heroes. They did not flee suffering, they embraced it. So I want to suggest that those twofold explanations shouldn't be ignored. Any more than we can ignore the suffering that still overwhelms our world. Christians are still being martyred. Jesus still flees Herod's violence in the 52,000 youth that were in flight to the United States away from Nicaragua and the violence there. How many refugees do we have to see before we remember that Jesus was a refugee too? And Jesus still invites the broken to touch and to eat. Truly, he pours life into our death. He pours himself into our hands so we can hold him. He still enters into our suffering by entering through his resurrection and ascension more deeply into us. Sadly, I think the last little phrase, Jesus' instructions, are often taken as a kind of an opium. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nation. You are witnesses. But just hearing that with our kind of imagery of what repentance is all about, forgiveness of sin, what is that all about? Well, we can hear that almost, hey, what God is really concerned about is saving your soul and not saving the whole of creation. Jesus is not about religious escapism, but human engagement. The call to repentance is not about a private, personal righteousness. It's a call to conversion, a revolution of thinking. The Greek metanoite means change your thinking, change your way of thinking, and then everything changes, your actions, your way of living, the way you see each other. But sadly, in our world, we imitate lots of things, right? We imitate. Someone gets something, oh, then I want that. Oh, he has that, well, then I want that too. Our desires are more the fruit and product of the social other than really our heart. And sadly, it makes for a little competition, a little comparison, a lot of covetousness, and sadly, even conflict. So, what is Jesus inviting to, this conversion, this change of thinking? What if you were to see through the lens of the resurrection? What if you were to see that God, the Father, is pursuing you into the depth of our humanity in his Son? What if you were to see that he's pouring life and love into our brokenness? Wouldn't everything change? If you really had that sense of being that deeply loved, God desires us more than we desire him. And if we had that God-filled desire in us, well then our craving would be replaced by appreciating, grasping by sharing, enmity by forgiving. Then each of us could share the good news of forgiveness, not as a hope to be looked for, but as a reality that has already been experienced in our lives right now. Once you let yourself love by God, then you know you're forgiven. So, you all know about Thomas Merton, right? Atheist, raised in Bohemian, raised in France, came to the United States, Columbia, literature, became a Catholic, then goes hardcore and becomes a Trappist monk. Well, he had an experience in, I think it was like 4th and Lexington in Louisville. And I want to suggest it was a resurrection experience. This is how really letting you see with Jesus' eyes changes how you see everything around you. He wrote, "I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all of these people, that they were mine, and I theirs. That we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness. Then it was as if suddenly I saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the depths of their hearts, where neither sin nor desire nor self-knowledge can reach the core of their reality, the person that each one is in God's eyes. If only we could see each other that way all the time, there would be no more war, no more hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. I want to suggest in this Easter season, see through the lens of the resurrection. See through the lens of God's desire for you.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.